from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Wednesday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on Newstalk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning the Hosk gets to say, told you so, about the housing bubble. He really rips into Oxfam and the charity industry generally. Hillary Clinton, we're not into her visit. And Brian Waddle as a trendsetter. But before any of that, was Geeta blown out of all proportion?
A lot of text in. Morning, Mike. In the US, people get killed by hurricanes. Buses get blown off roads. Blocks of houses get flattened. Watching our news, you'd think it's the same as here. Bit of perspective, please. And there is something in that. Yet again, we appear to have built this thing up bigger than it actually turned out to be. Although in this case, no one's a bigger cynic than me when it comes to weather forecasting, is there was genuine concern yesterday, and it was rightly displayed through a number of companies and operations, for whether it be the airlines or the civil defence or whatever the case may be. But my theory is this. You've got the Met Service and the various forecasters, which there are a number of private operators these days. These people have no life. These people live and breathe weather. All they do is stare at maps all day, and they become overly excited about possibilities of things that may or may not unfold. They feed that through to the media, who these days are desperate for clickbait and for you to read endless stories. Geeta was built up over a period of a couple of weeks. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And then inevitably you build up this frisson, this frenzy of anticipation and expectation, and because it is so heightened, almost inevitably, we're going to be disappointed by the outcome. But in this case, I would go down the line, and I've not said this before previously, I've been scathing of the officials and the way they've handled it, but in this case, I think we were probably better safe than sorry.
What I have been suggesting, well, forever, is that we just really don't know how to forecast the weather. I think that's what we've learned there. We don't really know how to forecast the real estate market either. This is what Mike's been saying, and it looks like he's right.
The Biz on the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ on News Talk ZB.
Well, what would you know, eh? How many times have we said it on the program? More proof this morning that the housing market has in fact started to sort itself out, as indeed it always does. And so everybody wandering around saying there was a great big fat bubble about to burst, not true. S&P Global Ratings. They tell us this morning the economic risk posed by rising property prices and higher household borrowing in New Zealand has likely passed its peak. They say the risks that the banking sector in this country faces from 5 years of strong growth in both the house price inflation and more recently household credit growth have likely peaked. And, of course, my great hope, as I said to Andrew Callagher this morning, and ironically I said it last time after the GFC and the same misery merchants were out talking about bubbles bursting then, that we actually learn from this, that we understand how the property market works, and that mostly in this country we're a pretty safe economy, we're a pretty robust economy, we're not idiots with money, we're nicely regulated, the banks are very prosperous and successful overall, and the chances of having a bubble are about zero. The bubble has never burst in this country. We've never had a housing bubble. We're not going to have a housing bubble. So please, Lord, let us next time it happens, because everything's cyclical, not go down that track again.
And my major issue with that comment is that he keeps saying cyclical instead of cyclical. I prefer cyclical, don't you? Stop getting bogged down with stupid pronunciation, minutiae, and let's get stuck into this sort of industry that is the charity industry.
The Oxfam World Vision scandal, slightly detached way. Do you know what? It's our fault. And I've long held views on aid in general. One, I've asked dozens of times why we need so many agencies. I've long been suspicious of this. In an emergency, whether it's famine, war or plague, why is it we need more than one agency doing exactly the same thing? Why, if the aim is nothing more than altruistic, do we have the apparatus of multiple agencies sucking up much needed resource on nothing more than admin and PR? No one has ever answered that question, and I've always had a very strong suspicion as to why. And secondly, and this has been the slightly unpopular view, I've long maintained the agencies have been able to get away with a lot of unseen activity because fundamentally we don't care. And this is a great lesson in the human condition. We give as much, if not more, to make ourselves feel good as we do to actually help. And I bet you anything you want, the vast, vast majority of people who give to aid agencies could not begin to explain where the money went, nor did they inquire. There have been the ads over the years from various agencies, of course, promoting what percentage of the money goes to the so-called frontline, but they're only ads designed to steer your money in their direction. And given what we now know of how these agencies operate, who's to know whether any of that's even true? And let's be honest. Many of us give to agencies on the street. They shake a bucket. They make you feel guilty. You give A, to make them go away, and B, to reassure yourself you're a good person. Not all of us, of course, are like that, but many are. What Oxfam and co. have done is shatter any level of respectability the aid agencies have. They have undermined what undoubtedly are the many good people doing a lot of good work, but the conversation we are having as a result of the scandal should really, if we had any gonads, have been had years ago. But the reason we haven't is because it's not PC to question any of this. How dare you ask some probing questions of people saving lives, of those who suffer for a cause. Now, this is not directly attributed to the sexual abuse. I doubt many of us ever conjured up such depravity. But a lot of us have been suspicious for years as to how you have so many large corporations forever with their hands out, dealing with hundreds of millions of dollars and yet seemingly achieving globally nothing. The droughts never end, the wars never stop, the kids always suffer. For the agencies, business is booming while we hand out cash rather than ask questions. So it is time we hardened up. Some of these people are crooks. Some are deviant crooks. And the agencies that protected them are not a lot better. Why on earth would you give another?
To be honest, I'm not a big giver to the people with the buckets and shopping malls. It's primarily because I'm always worried that they're going to try and make me try on makeup. You know, those people? And then even if it turns out that they're allegedly working for a charity, I still suspect that they're going to try and make me put some makeup on. And I just never make eye contact. I raise my elbows up in a sort of a self-defense gesture. And then I just start spinning around to sort of fend them off. And then I'm on my way. Now, Hillary Clinton is coming, but Mike doesn't sound very interested for some reason.
Yes, it's true that past presidents and prime ministers look to the private sector post-life in office, and yes, there's normally a book we're currently standing by for what should be actually a couple of good ones, Obama's and Cameron's, and as an avid devourer of the autobiography, I will read both, and I'm looking forward to both. And the reason for that is because both those blokes actually got the job. Ms. Clinton lost. Never before has a loser worked so hard to make money out of being a loser. Whinging, and she has done a lot of whinging on the circuit post the end of 16, whinging and not becoming a major political operator, I wouldn't have thought is a good enough reason to line your pockets. And perhaps what makes this worse is she comes with baggage, of course. The Clintons themselves are famous for the foundation and the money dealings and the questions around money dealings. They are tainted by their association with money. And she, by hitting the road on a global woe-is-me tour for yet more money, merely highlights what a fiscal opportunist she is. She is a sore loser who wants to capitalise on it. Is there really joy in relitigating what a disaster you were? And it's not like she'll be back. It's not like this is a slow-burning build-up to 2020. She's done. The Clinton era is over. Now, of course, a fool and their money are easily parted, and she might well sell out here. Who would know? And to be fair, if she can steer past the whinging, she probably has some very decent stories to tell about the White House and Bill and presidents and being Secretary of State. But it's all predicated on her being responsible for the worst loss in American modern political history. I'm surprised she's not calling it the It's Not Fair tour. That is right. I will not be going.
So that's on record. And if I can just peel back the curtain a little bit, in our show debrief after the show today, he also said that he wouldn't even interview her if he had an interview opportunity. So that's now on the record now that I've told you this and recorded it and saved it into my computer. That's also on record as well. So I think he's really quite bitter that she stood him up on election night. You know, it's kind of like a Tinder date that's gone wrong there. We're going to finish up with the Black Caps hot date tonight with Australia. Not sure who the favourite is really, but one thing's for sure, Brian Waddle will be there.
You see old Wads on the news last night? You were watching the sports news last night. They had some shots of Kane Williamson and Warner just standing there and chatting away. In the background with old Wads on his phone playing, you know, I don't know, whatever Wads does on his phone, playing, I don't know, Keno.
That's outrageous, Mike. I'm sure he was researching
he was just
international cricket statistics.
Pictures beamed out to the world and there was old Wads in his boat shoes, just looking through his phone.
He does love a boat shoe. I'll give him,
he does,
I will
he
say
no
that.
One. I think the reason, and in certain circles, not my circles, of course.
I mean, you're hardly one to criticise somebody's choice of footwear.
But to be fair, I think the resurgence in the boat shoe, and it is a resurgence, in some circles it is popular again, I think is solely down to Brian Waddle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who doesn't want to be like Wads?
And There's the question of the morning. Who doesn't want to be like Wads?
Hashtag be like Wads. I am Glenn ZB. I'm just, we're lucky that he's got an, he's well known for his amazing sense of humour, loves to joke at his own expense, does Brian Waddle. So I think we're in the clear there. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap. We'll wrap up some more Waddle for you tomorrow, maybe. Who knows? Good luck to Black Caps. We'll see you then.